John chapter 6. My wife is not here this morning because she's trying to organize that fall festival. Had to have a meeting. You know, you got to have a bunch of them or else nobody will show up. Or show up an hour late, an hour early. They won't do what they're supposed to do. I know I've been in this too long. I know how it is. She kept saying, "But I feel bad. I should be with you." And I said, "If you ain't at that thing, you're talking about just some drama. You better go ahead and tell them everything they're supposed to do. Everything you expect of them, or else you'll be highly disappointed come time for that thing when everybody shows up wearing with the same Trump decorations or something, you know." All right, we're going to be in John chapter 6. We're only going to read one verse this morning. The Bible says, "Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?'" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again this morning, I want to thank you for loving us and dying for us and being so good. Lord, I ask that you please open the hearts and ears of your people that they might receive what you've got to say. Thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning our message is going to come out of verse 70. One of you is a devil. Now listen here, I ain't coming down, I ain't going to tell you Brother Rouse is a devil, okay? I ain't going to do it like that. But what I am saying, I don't know why the Lord decided on this message this morning, but I do know that there's devils in all sorts of churches. I've been in enough of them just preaching myself. I can tell you of one in Montevallo that absolutely had a devil that was running the show, right? You'd show up and just the vilest spirit coming off that man. And it was like, my goodness, man, if you're what's leading this place, it's doomed. There ain't no way it's going to pull itself up, right? You can go to other churches and you'll find where they will absolutely, there'll be one family or one person who will fight the pastor tooth and nail for everything they got. It don't matter what comes up, fall festival arises. "Well, that ain't a God, brother. You ought not have fall festivals. That's contrary to the scriptures. I ain't got no scripture to back it up. You ought not do no trick or treat. You worshiping the devil." Well, you ain't worshiping the devil because you ain't got no devil stuff, right? You giving candy and tracts to people. I ain't got no scripture to back it up. Whatever they can do, they'll try to find a way to interfere with God's work. And now then, those folks are found in the church house. It ain't just in the world. I have learned, especially in the last several months to a year, that you fight folks in the church more than you fight them in the world. Oftentimes, I believe it's a devil. Somebody planted by Satan himself to cause discord among the brethren and to try to hinder God's work. I was reading about Spurgeon in this book by Drummond Lewis. It was called Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers. It's talking about a man that Spurgeon had come to admire, and he killed him with kindness, literally. The man had been a troublemaker in every church up until the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon pastored. Spurgeon recommended him to be a trustee. Well, the other board of everybody else on the board of trustees saw that the man was of the devil and a troublemaker, and they voted against it. Well, later on, that man came to Spurgeon's house to try to stir something up and went to claiming that Spurgeon and the church, the trustees, had done him wrong and that he was out money because of the church and just trying to make a big to-do. Spurgeon reached in his pocket, pulled out the amount that he said he had been cheated and handed it to him. The man was speechless and wandered off. Sometime later, Spurgeon's brother, who was the assistant pastor, found the man and began to tell him about how Spurgeon had tried to make him a trustee, and he didn't know it. He was overcome with this sense of guilt and admitted to Spurgeon's brother that he was only there to stir the pot, that he had no intention of doing anything. He said, "I'm not a saint, I am a devil. And I go around and I stir up trouble in the churches and I tear them down." Spurgeon's brother said that he literally loved him to death, because the man was so guilt-ridden that he cut his own throat and died of suicide. The man was a devil, point blank period. He had slipped into churches all over London, sowing discord among the brethren, tearing them down from the inside. when it came to the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Spurgeon pastored, he changed the way things worked and killed him with kindness. Now, I ain't telling you that every devil is treated like that, but what I'm saying is it even happened to Spurgeon, right? There were folks show up, the prince of preachers. Now, yeah, he had some things that you could preach against, but as a whole, Spurgeon was some more kind of a man, right? He had a backbone that cannot be, you can't equate it with anything else that I can think of. He was a man of great character, a man who believed the Word of God, who had 66 different ministries that he was the head of, I heard this morning. And yet he had a devil slip in and try to mess his stuff up. There may be a devil sitting in here this morning. Now, we've come to know each other a little bit, but I still don't know you very well. And you don't know me that well. For all I know, any one of you here could be a devil in disguise, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you're here trying to sow discord and tear this church apart. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know how you're going to go about doing it. I don't know if you've already started or if you're close to winning. But we're going to preach against you. And if it's not somebody sitting here this morning, then perhaps the Lord is preparing you for one that's soon to arrive. So I ask that you please pay close attention for just a little bit, and we'll be done and we'll go to the house. And we'll eat like good Baptists do. Okay? All right. Number one, we're going to take a look at the life of Judas. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. So, he had one out of 12 that was bad, right? 1/12. Billy Graham estimated that 75% of people are lost. 75%. Now then, if that was to be the case of the church, I don't know if that still applies. But I'd still say that 75% of the churches, probably 100% of the churches, have lost people sitting in them. Have people that are full of the devil sitting in them. Folks that walk around claiming to be Christians, sitting in them and doing the work of Satan himself. Right? If we look at Judas, we find, first of all, that he followed Christ. The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of these of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now then, if you were to classify Judas as something at this point, Jesus Christ has went, he's got a bunch of disciples, but now then he's going to pick him 12 apostles whom he's going to ordain to preach and go about with the power of God doing whatever he commands them to do, right? Of the 12 was Judas. Judas would have been called a Christian. Judas was there when the doors were open. He was a charter member, you could say, right? Buddy, Judas was something to look to. He was a Christian, a follower of Christ, one who made an example in his life of Jesus Christ. That's why they were called Christians at Antioch, because they acted like Jesus, right? You would have called Judas a Christian. You would have found Judas wherever Jesus was, in close fellowship, right? You would have found Jesus when he was, or Judas when Jesus was at the synagogue preaching. You would have found Judas when Jesus was in the desert feeding the 5,000. You would have found Judas when Jesus was on the ship calming the storm. You would have found Judas when Jesus was wherever. There was Judas, a Christian. He walked close to the Lord. Judas was a Christian because he followed Christ. And I say that word loosely. Please understand that. We also find that in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 that Judas was a prominent figure among the disciples of Christ. Over in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. All right, so he ordained 12. He picked 12 out of the whole lot. Of these 12, the Bible says that He called them to be with Him. And then after they had been with Him, He called them to go forth and to preach. So not only was Judas a Christian, Judas also had a prominent position amongst the church. He was one of the 12. He was with Jesus. He'd been called, hand-selected by Jesus Christ Himself. And he sat there above the rest of the disciples. Today we call them deacons. We call them lay preachers, Sunday school teachers, pulpit committee, janitors, piano players, Wednesday night Bible study leaders. Right? If you examine yourself this morning, are you just putting on? There was obviously something missing with Judas. He walked with God, or at least you thought he did. Right? He was right there, buddy-buddy with Him, rubbing shoulders. He was with Him, and then He went preaching Him. You can turn on the television on Sunday morning and pick any number of Judases to choose from. Amen. Right? You can find Joel Osteen. You can find, I don't know him very well no more, right? There was that one that knocks him out. I can't remember his name. There's that one. There's a great bunch of them. My pastor, in order to get fired up sometimes on Sunday morning, if he feels like it should be a barn burner, will go in there and turn on this black preacher that preaches a bunch of nonsense, all that health, wealth, and prosperity message. He'll get there, get to watching it, and get so mad when he gets to church, he's just so fired up, he's going to blow, right? There's Judas, not the pastor, fell on TV, right? There's Judas on television. There he is, sitting there with a big old smile that you can't wipe off. That must have cost him $10,000 to be put in, right? There he is. There she is, standing there, sounding like a man. Might be a man, I don't know. Trying to say, oh, bless God, you need to listen to me. And it's a woman, old Joyce Meyer. You don't know her, buddy. She make you wonder, right? There's that one. There's a Judas. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, because one, she don't listen to the Word of God. If she did, she wouldn't be there. Number two, you know Joel Osteen ain't one because he went on Larry King Live and said that Jesus is the only way to God, but there are many ways to Jesus. And a Buddhist can find his way to Jesus through Buddhism. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not by Buddhism to me, not by Hinduism to me, not by Catholicism to me, not by being a Baptist to me, or a Methodist, or a Presbyterian, or Episcopalian, or anything else. He said, by me. Point blank, period. You come by me. You want to get to Him? You come through me first. I offer my body a living sacrifice for you, that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Here I am. Accept me. But instead, folks turn to whatever else. Joel Osteen sent a whole bunch of people to hell over that little stunt. I was sitting in a Sunday school class one time, and this lady said, well, I like Joel Osteen. And I got to twitching a little bit, right? I was a visiting preacher. I was trying to do real good. Really, really, really trying, right? When you try real hard like that, it just pops out all at once. And you're sitting there trying to snatch it back. And you can't, you know. I didn't say nothing bad. I just said it really quick, probably a little harsh. So that joker denied Jesus Christ. Look him up on Larry King Live. Right? He went and told him all this stuff. She was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. He sure did. Because he's a devil. He's a Judas. You can find him right there. They're prominent people. You'll find that Judas was an ordained preacher. What about that? He was ordained, set apart, had his Jesus Christ lay his hands on him and give him the thumbs up. You'll find ordained preachers that are of the devil. You'll find ordained preachers that go through Crown Bible College that are of the devil. Find some that'll go through Pensacola Bible Institute of the devil. Through the Bible Doctrine Institute in Jacksonville of the devil. Find some that go through ambassador. They're of the devil. I can think of some from every one of them schools. Right? I go to Crown Bible College. Brother Sexton made it very clear in some Sunday school material I ordered the other day that hell is eternal. I think I told y'all last time because I was fired up about it. Some idiot got on there and said that hell is not eternal, that one day you will just burn up. Annihilation. Well, buddy, that's contrary to the Scriptures. He's going to be ordained to God, ain't he? Probably. Probably pastoring a church somewhere, preaching that garbage. There's a Judas. You'll find a Judas churches all across this land, standing behind a pulpit this very morning. You'll find Judases on deacon boards all over the place, been ordained. To the people, they seem like they're of the Lord, at least at the moment. Then one day, the devil rises up within them, and they show that they were a wolf wrapped up in wool the whole time. We also find that Judas had a form of godliness. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Now then, not only was Judas a follower of Jesus Christ, not only was he one of the 12 apostles, he'd been called up. You know, Jesus made a parable or gave a proverb and said, hey, don't go up into the upper room to be sent down. Wait till you're called. Judas was in the upper room. He was up there with the ruler of the feast, right? The bread of life. He was a prominent figure. But he had a form of godliness. We find that he was ordained. He followed Christ. He was prominent. He was one of the 12. But he also had power, right? He was also able to cast out devils. He was also able to lay his hands on the sick and heal them. And yet, he was a devil the whole time. I can think of some churches that I've been in my life from the time I was a kid to right now. My dad pastored a church. I was about 5 or 6 years old when he began pastoring. There were some folks arrive on the scene. He hadn't been there maybe a year or two. If I was 5 or 6, he pastored about 5 years. When they showed up, buddy, he thought they were a blessing. He just loved them to death. My grandmother thought they were a blessing. She just loved them. I remember her saying, I just love hearing Dan Couch pray. Buddy, it just, something about it, right? Found out Dan Couch was a devil. All of a sudden, the church started to grow. Dad got up and preached on sin in the camp. Didn't have no idea what was going on. Dan Couch ran up there. You tell me what sin's going on in this camp. Who's the sinner? Who has the sin? He said, I don't know. You tell me. Needless to say, Dad got the boot. Right? Come to find out, his wife was running around beating them gums. Been running Dad down for a long time over what he was preaching. Turns out their grandson was a child molester. Turned out that the song leader was trying to have an affair with one of the ladies in the church. Right? The devils popped out. Now then, Dad, I like to think he was a pretty good judge of character. He still is. But they fooled him. Anybody else around there? You talk about Dan Couch, they'd probably say, oh yeah, he was a good Christian fella. We found out different. Right? Now then, I don't know whether Dan was saved or not. But what I do know is he let the devil use him. And the way he let him use him, it would lead you to believe that he'd never been born again in the first place. You can be born again, though, and let the devil just take over everything you got. You can lose the joy of your salvation and get to doing junk you never thought was possible. The only thing a saved man can't do that a lost man can't is a saved man can't go to hell. He's still just as capable of all of those sins that he was capable of before he accepted Christ. Amen. Right? So you're sitting here and you're saying, oh, well, I ain't no devil. I've been saved. I got saved when I was 6. What about right now? Has the Lord convicted you over something? Or maybe right now he's doing it. Right? I know this ain't no shouter out type of message. I get it. It's a time where you need to sit down and think about some things. Is it me? When he went around the table and he said, one of you shall betray me, and they each asked, is it me? Is it me? Old Judas already knew, right? You never even had to ask him. He had a form of godliness. I've seen some preachers get up. Buddy, they preach the house down. Buddy, they get to going and you're like, my word, what a preacher. There's some right now in North Carolina. You want to see a good, perfect example of having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, go to North Carolina right now. They're just everywhere. It's like ants. You can't get rid of them, right? They just running around preaching all this nonsense. To hear it at first glance, you say, well, ain't nothing wrong there. But then you get to examining the fruit of the matter, and you'll find that everywhere they go, it's the Sunday school teachers and the preachers and the deacons and everybody else getting saved again. They come back the next year, it's the preachers and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers getting saved. Come back the next year, it's the preachers and the Sunday school teachers and the deacons getting saved. Now then, something ain't right. You ain't doing something that the Word of God says you're supposed to do. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you some of the things I've heard you say, that you used every trick in the book. There ain't no tricks in the Word of God. It's very simple. You're lost. You must be found by Christ. Accept Christ as your Savior. You're not lost no more. Right? Very easy. You're born again. You're never going to lose it. You're sealed to the day of redemption. But when you get to going in there and you casting doubt into the heart of all the saints, sure, I don't doubt there's been several hundred actual conversions. But what about the several thousands that weren't? You just cast doubt into their hearts. Now then you got a preacher whose testimony for the last 15 years is shot. And all those people that he led to the Lord, now then they start to wonder, well, how could a lost man have told me about Christ? Oh, that Sunday school teacher led me to the Lord. Now how was I saved? I can't be. And now then they get born again. Right? All because of the devil creeping in. I ain't telling you them rascals ain't saved. I know some of them personally. I don't doubt that they got born again when they were 7 years old. But I know what they're doing now is of the devil. And it ain't the Spirit of God moving amongst them churches, having them the Sunday school teacher saved again every year. I remember a church close to where my dad was assistant pastor one time. Every single year, Sunday school teachers got saved. Old preacher come through. Pastor of that church we were in, he'd be like, Sunday school teachers got saved. And after like 2 or 3 years, Dad said, you know, the first year, okay. The second year, maybe there was a new one. He said, 3 years running, you got to be getting the same Sunday school teachers converted over and over and over again. Right? Or you ain't teaching them right in the first place. Or you weren't preaching it right in the first place. Someone is messed up. Right? Judas had power too. Them folks running around, winning thousands. One put it up the other day. I wish I could remember the numbers. It was something unreal. Like said he saw 250,000 saved in 3 months or something like that. Man, that's more miles than he put on his car. Sorry, if that was really happening, the whole nation would be done, broke out in revival. You know what I'm saying? The fruit of God multiplies. It'll start out by adding and then it multiplies itself. And when you get to multiplying, buddy, it takes off like wildfire. Everybody in here bring one visitor, well, it ain't going to look like a whole lot. Everybody visitor brings a visitor, and then their visitors bring a visitor. Now then you began multiplying and you need a new building. You get what I'm saying? If you won 250,000 people to the Lord, well, then at some point the state of Oklahoma should have been converted. Or the state of North Carolina, or Alabama, the whole daggum state. You get what I'm saying? Amen. They got power, but who's the power from? Judas had power too. We also find that Judas was trustworthy. The Bible says over in John chapter 13 and verse 29. John 13, 29. It says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. It says that Judas had the bag. That means he carried the money, right? Be like the treasurer toting around that little blue sack you get from the bank, right? Judas carried the money around. Now, I don't know about you. I ain't going to let somebody I don't trust carry my money. I ain't even going to think about it. I ain't going to give a thief $100, tell him to hold it for me. Right? I ain't going to walk up and be like to some poacher that I know was shot a bunch of my deer and acting a fool, hey man, hold my gun while I run to the store. Nah, man, he's going to shoot more of my deer and then run off with all my stuff, right? You don't do that. He was obviously trusted enough amongst the 12 that they had no issues with him carrying the purse. So that devil that's sitting in the church this morning, or that'll be sitting here next week, or in a year, whenever it is, he'll probably be able to trust him a little bit. At my own church, and it was before I got there, there was somebody that was in charge of the finances. Evidently, they were trusted enough to be given control of it. They stole a whole heap of money from there, too. Right? I can tell you of another church. Treasurer went, stole thousands and thousands of dollars from the little church, didn't have much of nothing. Never paid it back. But people trusted him. Right? I ain't preaching against the treasurer, whoever you are. Okay? My point is that he was trustworthy enough to walk around with it. He was trusted enough to teach your children in Sunday school. Trusted enough to lead your church in spiritual matters. Trusted enough to lead the song service. Trusted enough to play a piano. Trusted enough to clean the bathrooms. They were trusted enough to do something for the Lord inside the church. Right? Just like Spurgeon trusted that man enough to try to make him a trustee. Judas had that kind of trust too. And then, finally, we find that after he had betrayed the Lord over in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3. Matthew 27 and 3. The Bible says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders. We find that Judas felt bad. Right? Now then, you might think, well, they were sorry. They said they apologized for it. They said they didn't mean nothing by it. I've told y'all, if it wasn't last time, I know I said a little something about it this morning in Sunday school. There's a church close to home, and the Sunday school teacher got called out for not teaching Sunday school. Not even like a blessing out. He got to ranting on Corona and a bunch of conspiracy theories and how the government's out to get you with the shot and all this other stuff, right? You're going to be implanted and they're going to track you down, all this stuff. Boy that just got right said, I thought we were supposed to be in Corinthians. It made the man mad. He ran down off the podium and he's only got one leg, so that was a little bit impressive. Got back there to him and said, went to cussing him. Yeah, in the middle of Sunday school, cussed him. Now then, that fella stirred up a whole big scene over that. All he'd had to done is said, hey man, I got caught up in the flesh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, right? But instead, he turned it. Now then, he was trying to throw the blame on him and on the folks that went to bringing him to church and on this one and on that one. And next thing you know, there's a committee formed and they said, oh, well, you didn't do nothing wrong, but you're going to have to apologize. Right? So he went to call him, folks. If I done anything, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, you done something, dummy. You know, you cussed in the church service. And then beyond that, you went and caused a big old kabocle over this whole thing. And you were the reason for it. Turned everyone against the poor boy that just got right with God. Right? Oh, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start nothing. Judas was sorry too. Judas had a sincere sorriness about him, right? He was genuinely apologetic toward it, yet it was too late for him to do anything. The Bible says he repented himself. In other words, he looked for repentance in the wrong place. He tried to fix it on his own. We find that Judas went and hung himself in a potter's field. They took that 30 pieces of silver and bought it to bury all the dead that weren't known, too poor to afford a grave themselves, right? Judas was sorry, but he was sorry in the wrong way. Now then, had Judas repented and sought meat fit for repentance and accepted Christ as his Savior, Judas would have been born again. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that would have applied to Judas. But instead, he went and tried to fix it on his own. He tried to give the money back, but it was too late, right? And then after that, he said, well, I can't do that, but I can go kill myself. And Judas got hung. Point of this whole message has been, you might be fighting somebody right now. I don't know if you are or not. I ain't part of your church. You might be fighting somebody tomorrow or next month or next year. But there will be some Judases, some devils slip in among you. And when they first show up, they're going to look awful nice. It's going to be some sweet, polite Christian. Right? And they're going to have some power about them. They're going to know look just enough Bible to impress somebody. Man, I tell you what, they could be a Sunday school teacher. I tell you what, they could do this and they could do that, and it'll fool all or most of you. Right? Judas had the other apostles fooled. Not Jesus, obviously, because he was God in the flesh. But he had everybody else fooled. They didn't think when Jesus said, what thou doest, do quickly. They thought he meant, go buy something. Hey, you got the money. Go get the bread, man. Go give some money to the poor outside. They waiting on you. No, he went to betray our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you find a devil in the church house, sometimes you can't do nothing about it. I've learned it the hard way. You just got to keep your eye on them, right? Grit your teeth and bear it. The Bible says over in Romans 16:17, mark them which cause divisions and contentions among you contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. If you can't do nothing about it, and they stuck here, avoid them. Why cause yourself any more grief? Why cause everybody else any extra grief? Sometimes you just can't get rid of them sorry rascals. I think the Lord will sit there just long enough to prove you or get you back on your knees, right? Or it might be to teach you a lesson in experience. So one day when another devil comes by, you can catch them real quick and say, hold up, that one is just like that last one that come in here. And I think we're going to have to wait a minute before accepting them in the fold, right? Or are you a devil? As the Lord spoke to you this morning and said, you it? You trying to run things now? You trying to heap glory to yourself? You want to know why revival won't come to the United States? Because preachers are seeking glory for themselves. Hey, look what I've done. See how many men I won. See how many revivals I've preached. See how many miles I've drove. See what I'm saying? And it can happen with individual members within a church too. Look who I am. I'm the preacher's daughter. I'm the preacher's son. I'm the preacher's sister, niece, and nephew. I'm the deacon's family. I belong to this one's family. I have some say, or I'm going to get some say-so. Right? Sometimes what you'll find is when you, without a pastor like this, that all of a sudden there's no under-shepherd to fend the wolves off, and they pick an easy target, or what they think to be easy. Right? Oh, hey, look, there ain't nobody there to run me out yet. Don't nobody know about it. When our pastor died, I told y'all I was the head of the pulpit committee when I was 18, because our pastor died. There was a devil slip in. I knew it because the pastor just told me about it not a week before. Said, that one needs to be watched. Nobody else knew. Everybody else thought he was okay. Hey, man, this guy wants to work. This guy wants to do some stuff for the Lord. No, he came in and found an easy target. Right after he died, he jumped in on it, trying to get the pastorship, trying to do this and do that. He was a devil. He had a bunch of false doctrine. He was living a life contrary to the Word of God. He was a fornicator, an adulterer, and a drunkard, and a dope head, and everything else, but managed to keep it hid. Right? According to the rest of the congregation, they would have thought he was a fine fellow, a fine Christian. He's got some power about him. He's a preacher, but he was a devil. I've seen devils rise up that for years people would call them prayer warriors. Maybe they were at one time, but to see them now, you wouldn't even think they were born again. And yet, they're so wrapped up in their own self-righteousness, you can't convince them otherwise. You could go in there and literally lay your finger on their shoulder and say, "You're the man. Thou art the man," just like old Nathan done to David. And they'd say, "Who, them?" Turn around looking for somebody else. We done this morning. If piano player could come play just a verse of something. I don't know what the Lord had in mind with this message. If you're a devil, get down here and get it right. Or get out. I may not be part of your church, but I still love you enough that I don't want no devil in it. Right? I don't want them here. I don't want no wolf taking you or any other church out. I don't want them hindering you in any way. None of that stuff. If you know